Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
You may have been watching what's happening in Mozambique, and quite worrying indeed. And we got reports earlier on that our border has been cleared now on our side, Lumbumbu side, and things were tense but quiet. A High Commissioner at the Southern African Human Rights Lawyer, Professor Talend Rusere, is on the line. They have raised some concerns about what is happening in Mozambique. I just want to bring the Commissioner on the line now. A very good evening, and thank you so much for making time for us. Thank you for joining us this evening. Good evening, Commissioner.
Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks so much for making time for us. We just wanted to get your sense of how you characterize what is happening in Mozambique at the moment.
Okay. Well, to start with, it's not a secret that we are having a challenge whereby our region has been slapped by so much illegitimacy when it comes to our leaderships. Elections have been fluid, not just in Mozambique, even in Zimbabwe, even in other countries, and specifically the Mozambican issue. It's centralized on how the Zimbabwean government and ZANU-PF have been interfering with the Mozambican election. And it did not start this year on this past election. It's something that has been happening. And from the investigations that we did and that we are still doing, we are realizing that the very same people that have been voting whenever there is an election in Mozambique are the people that voted even in this past election. So it's so sad that this is what is happening, especially in the Southern Africa region, considering that we have the president of Zimbabwe as the chairperson of the SADC currently, and this is what we are going through. It's so sad, and it's quite sad.
In your view, why would ZANU-PF be interested in interfering in the Mozambican politics?
Well, I wouldn't have a view that ZANU-PF would want to, but maybe the question should be, why is ZANU-PF doing that? It's not from my view or just the perspective that I'm just giving out of nowhere. This is what ZANU-PF has been done. Even if you listen to the video that I posted on my social media handles, the people who are narrating there, they were celebrating that they now have Mozambican IDs, even if they are Zimbabweans. And they have been saying that they are voting to help the ruling in Mozambique, which is a sister to ZANU-PF, considering the fact that they fought the liberation struggle together, and you know they were in their relations during that time. And the people are saying that we were told to do that because these are our friends from the liberation struggle. So we are helping them win the election and keep them in power. It has nothing to do with the people of Mozambique, and the people who are casting in their votes do not even live in Mozambique. Does not even dream of living in Mozambique. What they know is, we also want to go to Mozambique. Like the other lady was saying, I'm also going to go and help the people vote in Mozambique. Yet they are Zimbabweans.
Going forward as the High Commissioner, what's the plan of action for yourselves as your organization to address this matter?
Okay, thank you so much. Number one, let me just give you a piece of some of the evidence that I got today. There is a guy called Kelvin Chagumira. If you look at that video, the video that I posted on my ex, there is a voter's ID for Kelvin Chagumira. Kelvin Chagumira is a ZANU-PF member. I also have a picture of him putting on the ZANU-PF regalia, which was taken in 2019. Okay? And these are the people who are voting in Mozambican election. So basically, this tells you that the people who are voting or who are interfering with the Mozambican elections. There is the reason why I'm saying it's ZANU-PF and Emmerson Mnangagwa is they are ZANU-PF members, okay? They even have ZANU-PF cards. They even posted themselves wearing ZANU-PF regalia, which really tells that they are ZANU-PF. And this is something that is being done within the party, of which we don't know to what extent and how many votes came from Zimbabwe. So as of the solution to the ongoing situation in Mozambique, I'm told that the Constitutional Court of Mozambique is trying to make sure that they rectify the election results. But according to my understanding, we cannot rectify a stolen election. The only way forward is to have a re-election in Mozambique, in which the so-purported diaspora vote is blocked and not allowed. And if we are to have election observers even representing the SADC region, let it not be anyone from the administration of President Emmerson Mnangagwa. And I heard that he is planning together with the SADC executives to maybe go and have a SADC extraordinary summit.
Yes, it will be happening from the 16th to the 21st.
That is nonsense, to my own perspective. Sorry to say that word, because the very same man who is going to be leading the delegation that is going to Mozambique is the very same man leading a political party that interfered with the Mozambican elections. So how do you expect anything from that? How is he going to address the situation that he created? This kind of illegitimacy must not be perpetuated. And if it happens that this summit is set to happen in Mozambique, then the Mozambican people have a right to make sure that the summit doesn't happen until they get a re-election. What is needed in Mozambique is just a re-election. No rectification is going to happen because the election has been stolen from the Zimbabwean side. If it was a situation whereby the election was perhaps stolen, or maybe there are reports that there were a lot of irregularities, or maybe there is something that happened in Mozambique without the involvement of any external force, that would be fine. But it's quite absurd that the very same leader of a political party that interfered with the neighboring sister country's election is the one who is supposed to lead the delegation. How do you find that making sense?
I really appreciate your time, High Commissioner, at the Southern African Human Rights Lawyers, Professor Talent Rusere. And listening into that conversation is Director of the Center for Democracy and Human Rights in Mozambique, Professor Adriana Luvunga. Thank you so much, Prof, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Prof, your response and maybe your reaction to what you heard the High Commissioner say there earlier.
I cannot agree more with him. He articulated the Zimbabwe's, to put it correctly, the ZANU-PF's meddling with our election. This is not novel. It started last year with the local government elections. We saw a considerable number of Zimbabwean citizens to obtain Mozambique voter registration to be able to participate illegally in Mozambique's election. This is an important aspect to be taken forward, because it is not right, it is illegal, it's meddling with domestic politics of a SADC member state. With that said, mm-hmm. The magnitude of the problem is way much bigger than the Zimbabwe's meddling to this election. Of course, we saw President Mnangagwa congratulating Daniel Chapo in what he called his win in this election. I mean, that was not right to come from a leader, because the process is not yet concluded.
Yes.
He knows that this is a highly disputed election. But so not only him. SADC is compromised, because the chairperson of SADC, Mama Samia Suluhu from Tanzania, she has already congratulated Frelimo. How can you do that, knowing that not only that Mozambique's election are always followed by violence, but you saw this coming, because you have appointed the head of this delegation that reports directly to you, who saw it, and then his report has something there saying that this is coming. So to see that happening, but your own president Ramaphosa has done the same. This morning, I penned a letter. Are you following?
I am.
Okay. I penned a letter to him saying he needs to say something, because he's silent. Mm-hmm. But I know that he has already commended Frelimo and Chapo, which is not right, which is wrong, coming from a neighbor, coming from the elder brother in the region, to do so. Knowing that this was coming. With that, all that said,
yes.
As I said, Mozambique's problem with this election is way much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The level of the manipulation of the election,
mm-hmm.
It's unprecedented. And hence the public response to it. You see that the people are in the streets. The public mood in the country and in Mozambique is that of saying enough is enough.
So, Prof. If I may ask, you know, what do you make of the posture of SADC leaders? You've just called out, two to name a few, and obviously saying that you've extended it to saying, well, Zimbabwe, well, ZANU-PF has interfered. What's the motive behind that?
Well, Mnangagwa, Mama Samia Suluhu, Ramaphosa himself, though surprising, they are not speaking to us as the people of the region. They don't look at us as people of the region. They look at us as subjects. For them, it's about the ANC, it's about Frelimo, it's about CCM, it's about MPLA. Thanks to Boko, BDP now is gone. Thank you, Boko, for that in Botswana. But so these people, these leaders, they are not looking at us as citizens like in other regional blocs. They look at us as subjects. They claim to have liberated us, having given us independence, having built the state in which we live. So... and in fact, the democracy itself, they don't see it as owned by the people. They look at the democracy as the instrument they found to renew their stay in power. So this is what they are talking about. This is one. Two, it speaks to the language of corruption. I mean, if you look from a political economy perspective, Zimbabwe president, Mozambique president, these people, they are flatly rich by controlling the political economies of our country. So they protect each other. They are not happy for having Boko coming in Botswana because they know that they are losing one footing there, one ground there, someone to protect them. So these people, they are protecting each other to continue the loot, because these people, they are looting our presidents. They are looting. The level of corruption, grand corruption, is endemic in ways that governance, it becomes the instrument of enriching their pockets. Hence, this behavior to protect each other as brothers. But it has nothing to do with us as the citizens of the region.
There's also obviously a call for re-election. Just judging from where we stand by how government has responded to the protests, it's been quite harsh, we may add. Do you think they will heed the call for a re-election?
No, I don't see that happening. The reason why I don't see that happening is that, as I've indicated, Mozambique's election have since been fraudulent. Mozambique's election have never respected the will of the people. Mozambique's elections have since been followed by violence, and Frelimo is used to lead in a context of post-election violence. In fact, Frelimo takes benefit of that. The difference now is that the violence that we see, unlike in the past, that was in the provinces, led by a former rebel movement, now this violence, it's urban, worked by young, educated people that are highly connected. So they communicate rapidly. They know their rights. They are standing. They are pushing. And they are putting Frelimo on its tools. So Frelimo is not breathing properly. They need oxygen from hospitals in order to breathe. But they're still there, hanging on. They still believe that they will use the military. In fact, they have used the military in a very excessive use of force. So because of the political crisis and the violence, we are having a massive human rights crisis. 40 people have died. These people have been killed by the army and police in Maputo, Nampula, and in Niassa. Their crime is really to come to the streets to demonstrate within the scope of our constitution and ordinary laws. So they believe that they will repress everybody. In a recent article, I called it Mosan Venezuela. So it's a mix of Mozambique and Venezuela, you know, so that people can have an idea, a visual idea of what is happening here. So you have a government that is full-fledged, heavy-handed, responding, cracking down the people that are in the streets protesting against electoral injustice. But not only electoral injustice. People are in the streets because this country, my sister and brothers that are listening, Mozambique was set to become a lower middle income country some 12 years ago with resources, natural resources, human youth, etc. It was set to become a lower middle income country, but because of grand corruption and greed, mismanagement, Mozambique has derailed from that prospect to become the fifth most impoverished country in the world. This is not only statistics. It has taken away jobs. It has deteriorated livelihoods of communities. It has taken away the hopes for the young people to get jobs and to build families. So it has taken away really the present and the future of this and the coming generation. Hence, you have these people in the street. So it's not only about Venancio. It's not only about Podemos, about electoral justice. It is way much bigger. Mm-hmm. That's why it is urban. It is in the urban areas, which is where the people are most affected.
Yes. You know, you mentioned the fact, which is a very important fact, that this has become more urban. It's no longer, you know, the kind of unrest you would see in provinces. How does this affect then the security in the northern provinces, where there has always been some instability there? So with the focus of government being this particular protest, you know, what does that then mean for other issues that Mozambique has faced in northern provinces?
This is I was expecting this question, of course. In the north, you know, let's start from this. The conflict in the north. Samimi was there. Samimi is the SADC deployment to help Mozambique fight violent extremism. But Samimi was failed by Mozambique government. It is Frelimo government that failed Samimi. Samimi had everything to succeed in fighting violent extremism in the north. But Frelimo government, they failed Samimi. They failed Samim because they know what is happening there. They don't want anybody to interfere there. You know what I'm saying? So that conflict is theirs. They don't want anybody from the region to help solve that problem. With that said, we see an escalation of the violence in the north. Well, the dynamics playing out are not clear, but the matter of fact is that there is an escalation now. Then the media is hiding it; they are preventing the media to report on that, on what's happening there.
Yeah.
So Mozambique is at the brink of a collapse with a war in the north, a war that is. It is a faceless war. Have you ever seen a faceless war for 7 years? How can that be possible? Faceless war for 7 years. What's happening there? So there is an escalation of the conflict there, and the state is using the military equipment that were supposed to be used in the north to suppress protesters in Maputo and in other provinces. So you see a disproportionate distribution of the means and manpower to put Mozambique in a position to quell the violent extremism in the north. So in fact, Mozambique is stretched and is, as I've indicated, at the brink of collapsing.
So let's quickly then look at the profile of Daniel Chapo. Yes, from Frelimo, but who is he?
Daniel Chapo, he is a man. Daniel Chapo is a man who he graduated from law. He by training, he's a notarian, a notary, the person that certifies documents in the notary.
Yes, yes.
And he was taken by somebody to become a district administrator in the north. He spent 10 years as district administrator. And under President Nyusi, he was promoted to be a governor in Anyamban province, where Sasol is exploring gas in the south. So Chapwe, he is not, he's a man of the system. He's the man that in a supersonic speed, he emerged to become Frelimo candidate. But you have to remember that Chap was not neither the first nor the second nor the second option. It is simply that Frelimo's internal failed politics, there was a paralysis within the selection process because various factions could not agree on how to go about the internal election process. So when the big people don't agree on their candidates and on the process, whether they open up the process, whether they make it inclusive or not, then they this type of chap type, they emerged. The issue also with the current crisis is a double failed leadership within Frelimo. One, my president, President Nyosi, is really a failed leadership. He cannot steer the country to have a path forward. Look at what you in South Africa have done after the ANC failing to get majority. You came together to steer a path forward with ANC working with other political parties, etc. The international community learned and appreciates that. This one. Two, Chapwe himself is hiding behind the Constitutional Council. He's saying nothing, he's silent, and he's waiting to be told what to do. People are in disbelief that this man is silent. They would have expected him to raise above and say, I was elected and I represent people in this country. They say he was elected with 70% of the vote. If you are elected with 70% of the vote, it means you are an accepted leader. You can emerge and speak out. Let me give a parallel to South Africans. You remember during the transition that led the end of the apartheid?
Yes.
There was this issue of killing of Chris Hani.
Yes.
And the possibility of that unraveling into
civil
chaos.
Yeah.
And then President Mandela came in, but he was not president at that time.
Yes, yes.
Mandela was not president. The president was the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed President Mandela to come forth and address the nation to appease the animosities in the tragic event of the killing of Chris Hani.
Mm.
It is only then that you, South Africans, avoided to unravel into something complicated. So you would have expected, I made this parallel just for you to understand, people have been expecting that you would rise above the clouds and say, I'm the new leader. So let me bring people together and steer towards dialogue. But he's unable, he's silent.
Can we speak a little bit about his main opponent, who, you know, is the person behind the groundswell on the ground by young people that's captured the imagination of young people? This Venancio Mondlane, who is he?
Venancio Mondlane, he is, if you were to compare with South African.
Yes.
Venancio Mondlane is he's your AFF leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he grew up within Renamo, but then he broke away from Renamo.
Yes.
And he stood as an independent candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Then he co-opted Podemos.
Mm.
He is someone who has a credibility as a speaker,
mm-hmm.
as a credible speaker, intelligent, charismatic, and he has been building. We saw him coming 25 years ago.
Mm.
So you can see that he started a long, long time ago, projecting himself to where he is today.
Hmm.
Of course, it happens in a context where the state is collapsing. Mozambique state is collapsing. It's unable to pay salaries. It is in its biggest institutional crisis since we are a republic, because of the bad poor leadership and greed. So Venancio Mondlane, he emerged out of that to become the credible leader that he is, and he is appealing to everyone from left to right saying he is able to sell a future, you know, in a form of utopia, whether that word is in English.
Yes.
And so he's kind of selling that.
Yes.
And also, he's a man of, he's a religious man. He's a pastor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he can speak, he can mobilize.
Mm-hmm.
He's young, he's charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that people have been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, he filled a gap in our politics, governance, and society.
I really, really appreciate your time, Professor Adriana Novunga. He's a director of the Center for Democracy and Human Rights in Mozambique.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.